Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
UCLA is a university with unlimited possibilities for students that desire world-class academics and research, unmatched diversity, incredible cultural and social opportunities, successful alumni and career networking, first-class campus facilities, plus America's top intercollegiate sports teams. Located in Westwood, just a few miles from the Pacific Ocean, UCLA's one-square-mile campus is surrounded by famous cities such as Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Brentwood, and Santa Monica.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to UCLA Bruin Talk. My name is Dave Marcus. This is Naomi Manea. We are pleased to welcome many of you who are getting Bruin Talk for the first time. We have rapidly expanded the number of outlets our show is seen on. Just to give you a bit of background, in one format or another, this show has been on for about 30 years, and I'm pleased to have been the host for the last eight. We are going to introduce you to coaches, athletes, administrators, and educators covering all of UCLA's 22 varsity sports. It's going to be a great time, and we're glad to have you with us.
Before we meet our first guests, let's take a look at the upcoming events.
Throughout the history of UCLA baseball, a lot of Bruins have ended up in the major leagues. But team success has been elusive. That has all changed in Westwood. The head coach of the Bruins through six seasons, John Savage, got the Bruins to their best finish ever, all the way to the finals of the College World Series. And Coach Savage joins us today. Coach, congratulations on an incredible season.
Thank you. It was quite a run. We appreciate all the support, all the Bruin fans, and hope to do it again.
You started out last season winning 22 games in a row. I would imagine you felt you had something special going on.
We really did. I mean, right from the get-go in the fall, we really had a bunch of chemistry and guys playing together, and we had good leadership at the top with our players and four good team captains, and it just kind of flowed, to be honest with you. I mean, the guys just got, you know, into the season and in February, and we started playing really good baseball, and the young guys kind of incorporated their talent into our program, and it was just it was a good year.
You had an incredible roller coaster ride, a little dip in the middle of the season, then you finished strong, got into the regionals. LSU, defending champions, came out here. You had Irvine in the region, and the Bruins pulled through to go to the Super Regionals. That must have been thrilling.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the first thing was hosting. You know, I mean, we played well enough throughout the season to host. We're number, you know, two in the conference behind Arizona State. And, you know, the way to get to Omaha is to host. And we proved that this year. We held a really good regional at our place with LSU and Irvine and Kent State. And we were able to get through that and played Cal State Fullerton in the Super Regional and then eventually on to Omaha. But it was quite an experience at Jackie Robinson this season.
Now, that Super Regional is going to go down in Bruin history. The team was down to its last out, and Tyler Ramatula hit one over the left field wall, and the next thing you knew, you were going on. Tell us about your feelings when that ball left the yard.
Oh, just dramatic. You know, I mean, they two outs, nobody on. Blair Dunlap had a walk, a 3-1 count, and then Tyler got into a 3-1 count. They threw a fastball, and he just jumped on it, you know, and hit it over the left center field fence, and craziness at the ballpark. I mean, our guys never gave up, and our fans never gave up, and it was just a memorable time in UCLA Bruin baseball history.
After such a great season, what needs to be done to make it back to the World Series next year and maybe even clinch a title?
Well, it's a good question. You know, we have a lot of players returning. We really like our nucleus coming back. We did lose a core of pitchers, our bullpen specifically with Dan Klein and Matt Grace and certainly Eric Godel, and then our two starters with Gary Claypool and Rob Rasmussen. But we got a bunch of good young players coming into their program, and we got a bullseye on our back now. There's going to be everybody shooting for us, and certainly our goal is to win the conference. That's our number one goal.
Well, let's talk about that bullseye. That bullseye got a lot bigger when you got to Omaha. You know, you got more attention. The Bruin baseball program got more attention in that 10-day span than probably the last 30 years.
Yeah.
That really puts a target on your back now.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it just goes to show you the quality of our players, really, and quality of how tough-minded our program was this past season. I mean, we had 18 hits against Florida the first game, and they were ranked 3 in terms of the national seeds. We were 6th, and we just went in there and played like we played all year. That was the fun part about it. We really accepted the challenge, but we know that the bar has been raised, and certainly we have to play up to that level.
Last year, you played a memorable game against USC at Dodger Stadium,
yeah.
And you had a big crowd at Dodger Stadium. How did the experience of playing in front of so many people prepare your team to go into Omaha and 30,000 in the stands?
Well, I think it really did. I mean, we had 15,000 at Dodger Stadium, and you know, you had the UCLA section and the USC section, and it was almost, like almost a football atmosphere, really. And it was just Dodgers put on a great show for us, and it was on FSN TV, and it prepared for us. You know, it prepared for the next step, really. And we've been on TV quite a bit, but never really, at the, ESPN level, certainly in Omaha and the exposure that brings to your program. But we're going to do it every year, Dodger Town Classic, and we're looking forward to it again this season.
Now that it's after season, what off-season training does your team do?
Well, they just, work. They play a lot of summer baseball. Baseball is a game of repetition. Baseball is a game of playing a lot. Our guys go out to the Cape Cod, Team USA. We had 2 Team USA members with Garrett Cole and Steven Rodriguez. We had several guys up in the Northwest playing. So it's about getting at bats. It's about getting innings and then coming back and then getting in the weight room for about a month before our fall season starts. So baseball is a year-round deal, and like most sports are, but it's a game of repetition, and it's a game of hand-eye, and it's just a continuously improvement on your skills, really, in terms of playing the game at a high level.
You have a new addition to your coaching staff. Tell us about TJ Bruce.
Coach Bruce, very good young coach. Played at Long Beach State. Was around a bunch of good infielders at Long Beach State as a coach with Troy Tulitzky and Longoria from the Rays. So he's been around a bunch of high-level infielders. He's a very good infield coach, and we're happy to have TJ on staff.
Coach, we have to mention, and of course we talked about Tyler Ramatula.
Yeah.
I mean, what an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
He gets hurt after hitting the home run in the team celebration. You had to make some fast adjustments on the fly. It looked like your team handled it in stride. What kind of discussions did you have with your guys about the need to step up?
Well, it was just kind of a didn't have to be said, really. I mean, they just knew it was very, very unfortunate. Tyler was a big reason why we were in Omaha, and after he got hurt, we had to shuffle the deck a little bit and move Cody Regis over to second, and we move, SB, even playing the third base most of the season, but Trevor Brown played a little bit of third base, so then we had to move the first base situation a little bit. So it was a big adjustment. It may have caught up to us a little bit at the end with Tyler not playing. We lost Cody Kiefer after that USC dramatic home run, and so, but that's baseball. It's a game of adjustments, and it's a game that people have injuries and so forth. But it was we were all heartbroken, really, because Tyler just played such a big part of our success and our run to Omaha, and not being able to play. But he was in the dugout and he experienced it, and we know we're going to get that player back next year.
Oh, he was a great cheerleader in the dugout. He got almost as much FaceTime as you did on camera.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of exposure on that, the dog pile and the whole thing, but it was just a very, very unfortunate thing, and Tyler's looking to get back as a player.
Tell us a bit about the experience of playing in Rosenblatt Stadium. Yeah. It was the last year for that historic venue. What was it like to kind of send it out?
Oh, it was very, very memorable. I mean, you're talking about 61 years of history of national champions and All-Americans and Major League first-round drafts and, you know, just all the excitement that surrounds the College World Series. I mean, if no one's ever been there, they need to go, because you're talking about 25, 30,000 every game. It's middle America. It's just baseball the way it should be played, and everybody enjoys the experience. You got two games a day, the tailgating. Rosenblatt will always be a special place for me. I was an assistant there for 2 years at the ballpark, and then having played in the last game and coached the last game in the history of the ballpark will go down forever, really. And I know our players cherish that moment as well as the coaching staff did.
You were named College Baseball Coach of the Year by College Baseball Insider. How does it feel?
Well, it feels good, but it's all, as everybody knows, it's about the players and the support staff and everybody around you. It's I've been the same coach for a long time, but I mean, we all get better. We all try to get better every single day, but it's really about the people around you and what they've done and their commitment to the program and their discipline and their consistency. So really, that whenever you get an individual award at the end, if it's a player or even a coach, it's really a tribute to the team.
Coach, we've had you on numerous times in your 6 years at UCLA. You've been very generous with your time coming in and talking to us here on Bruin Talk. And I know you had a plan.
Yeah.
And the plan for John Savage always started with pitching.
Yeah.
At some point, when did you put it together in your head that, hey, you know, we really belong at the elite level now? We've really made that step.
Yeah.
When did that kick in?
Well, you know, just wearing the four letters of UCLA, you know that the bar's been raised and you need to play in that at that level. We've been to regionals for the last five seasons, so we've knocked on the door a lot, and we just have not been able to get through that door. And I just, it just all came together. Our veterans, like I said, our sophomores and our juniors, and then our freshmen. The pitching really stepped up this season. We had 700 strikeouts. We led the country in strikeouts. We had the number one and number three strikeout, guys in the country with Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole. And it's just a combined effort, and our guys just really stepped up. And, we have a bunch of professional pitchers pitching in college, and that makes you look good, I guess you could say. But just really a tribute to the guys' hard work, and, we can hope to continue that trend of, legitimate pitching.
Looking forward, who are the guys you're going to be counting on next spring?
Well, of course, Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer and Scott Griggs needs to step up. He was a freshman last season. He threw an inning in Omaha. He's got a big arm, 94, 95 miles an hour. We have three tremendous freshmen coming in the program. Adam Plutko was a sixth-round pick of the Houston Astros. Zach Weiss, who was a 10th-round pick of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then Nicholas Vandertig, a later draft of the Toronto Blue Jays. So three very high-end, very talented freshman pitchers coming in. We have Jordan Haver, Mitchell Beacom coming out of the bullpen. So we have plenty of guys. Some guys have done it before in Colin Bauer. Some guys that are coming to the program that are expected to be those types of guys. And then we have some veterans coming out of the bullpen. So, we'll be better offensively because we're a year older. But, we hope to come together this season and get to where we got to last year.
Coach, congratulations on a great, great year. Thanks for coming in and joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more UCLA Bruin Talk right after this public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions made here.
Welcome back to Bruin Talk. Before we meet our next guest, let's take a look at the Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Sydney LaRue of the women's soccer team as our Student Athlete of the Week. In a season-opening victory over Cal Poly, Sydney individually scored 4 goals with a hat trick in the first half that opened the gates for a 7-0 win. She was also a leader in her recent play with the under-20 women's national team, scoring the only goal to clinch the Group D win for the USA. She has scored a total of 30 goals in 36 international games and leads the Bruins in scoring. Congratulations, Sydney, and good luck to the rest of the team. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at www.uclabruins.com.
UCLA's motto is Champions Made Here. Oh, that's very true about the women's gymnastics team. They brought home the national championship this year, and the head coach of the Bruins, Valerie Condos-Field, joins us. Ho-hum, nothing going on, just a championship.
No, Dave, it is never, ever, ever ho-hum.
Tell us about the feeling of bringing home the banner.
Well, we went through a dip. You know, we had 5 years that we hadn't won. And so to come back up is really fun as a coach. You know, we'd won 4 championships in 5 years previously. So it kind of got, it didn't ever get ho-hum, but it became like something that we were supposed to do. And then we went pretty low. So to be able to build a program back up was very rewarding for us as coaches. And the way we did it, I've got to tell you, we made sure to stay in our Bruin bubble. The athletes had committed to not focusing on anything out of their what they had control over. And so no scores, no other teams, nothing. And at, when our last girl finished the last event, the team obviously erupted into crying and cheering. And I asked them later on, I said, well, is it that point that you knew that we had won the national championship? And they looked at me like I was crazy, and they said, no, Miss Val, we didn't know if we were first or if we were last. All we knew is we did the best that we could do. So the next day I called Coach Wooden, and I said, you know, Coach, I know you're proud of them always, but you will be exceptionally proud of them of how they went about winning this, because they didn't set their sights on winning. They just set their sights to being the best that they are capable of being. And he says, my dear, it appears that your team reached competitive greatness.
You hit the top of the pyramid.
We hit the top of the pyramid.
Fantastic.
Those moments must have been really emotional. Can you explain what was going on through your head when you realized that you had just won another national title?
I felt kind of a sigh of relief, because, you know, every year you have a plan, and every year you hope to put that plan in motion, but so many things come into it, with injuries, with just the personalities of the girls on the team. And so it was rewarding to be able to look around to each of our student athletes and really feel that they had gone beyond their comfort zone this year, each of them individually, and to collectively that helped us be the best team in the country.
Last season you started ranked 5th in the preseason polls. How accurate do you think those polls are, and how do they affect the rest of the season?
The preseason ranking is basically based on the last year. And so sports information directors usually just take the last year's rankings and plug people in. Every once in a while you'll see a shift if someone's lost a lot of depth or someone's gained a lot of depth, but preseason rankings don't really mean much to us. They're great for the media and for the fans.
Vanessa Zamarripa had the highest score in the team competition when she did her all-around. What was it like knowing that not only did you have the team greatness, but you also know that each individual was there doing their best?
It really, that's exactly how we felt. We started off on vault, and our first person went up and vaulted and hit a beautiful vault. And it was like, by the time the second or the third Bruin went up, it was easy. We were on a roll. And I know at one point, Aisha Gerber looked at me as we were warming up on bars, and she said, Miss Val, if I didn't know you better, I would have said that you're bored. And I said, I don't want to look bored. I'm just, we've done. We've prepared well. There's really nothing more for me to do than just make sure that nothing out of the ordinary happens.
On a stage that huge, would you say that your team got to a point where the nerves vanished?
Yes. The nerves, they were able to label them enthusiasm and excitement instead of nerves and stress.
You spoke of your conversation with Coach Wooden. Of course, Coach Wooden passed away this year, but he was so close with the gymnastics team through the years. Tell us about what his support meant to your program.
His support always just feels like the foundation and the base of what we're doing. It's like we're disciples of Coach, who's, you know, has a very strong faith and is very religious himself. Everything we do in this program is based on being the best that we can be, and not about winning. Being humble in our victories. And it's nice to know that we've got Coach Wooden as the grandfather for all of us Bruins here, and someone that we can always show is a prime example of how to win with grace, how to win with humility. and how to quote-unquote lose with those same qualities.
Being the number one team last year, there was definitely very strong individuals that did that. Can you tell us a little bit about the incoming freshmen and how they're going to play a role in this team?
The incoming freshmen are so much fun. There are four of them that are very different, but they're already this little pack, and they've been here for summer school, and they go everywhere as a pack. We lost Anna Lee, who is our senior, who was a tremendous talent on all four events. We gain Sam Peschick, who was a silver medalist in the 2008 Olympics. She's one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, gymnasts in the country. We gain Sydney Sawa, who's one of the top Canadians. Powerful, beautiful form, beautiful execution. We gain Olivia Courtney, who is basically a twin of Brittany McCullough. Extremely powerful, beautiful gymnastics. And we gain Cassidy Kozai, who is exceptional on bars and beam, petite, very petite athlete, but very clean and crisp. But their chemistry together is what's going to make this team, this whole team, different than anything we've experienced in the past.
Among other things, Vanessa Mariba has now gone up to the elite level. Can you tell us a little bit about this process and what it means that she's going to be doing both?
What Vanessa did this summer was made a statement for all of collegiate gymnastics. She's the first female collegiate gymnast to make the U.S. national team since 1985. So it's not something that's easily accomplished. She competed a vault that is the highest valued vault of any female in the world, the Chang Fei.
Oh, I know about that. That's where you move your furniture, you have a water feature.
That is feng shui.
Oh.
Okay, but that's good. It's okay. It kind of looked like feng shui when she was in the air. It's like time slowed down. She flipped and twisted and then landed perfectly. And funny thing, when we got back, I got an email from someone in China wanting to interview us about this vault that Vanessa did. And so they're already scouting us. And I didn't get back to the email. And the next week I got a phone call from China. You can hear the little tick, tick in the back, knowing it's from, you know, overseas. And she's saying, now, how long did Vanessa train this vault? And I said, oh, a few months. Only a few months for such an impressive vault? Yeah, a few months. How many more people do you have learning this vault? Like, they have their spies out. That's like, I don't know how many people will have learning the vault. But it was quite funny. They were very impressed with Vanessa's accomplishment.
Well, people are impressed with your accomplishment, too. You became a Hall of Fame inductee this year.
I did.
Tell us how you found out and tell us your feeling.
I came home 2 days after the national championships, and I was going through all my stacks of mail, and I got this letter that said congratulations, and I thought it was on winning the championship. And I thought, that's not what it said. And I pulled it back, and it said, it's our pleasure to let you know you're being inducted into the UCLA Hall of Fame. And I literally sat down. I started shaking. And, you know, we've discussed my background was in dance. I was never a gymnast. And I've never felt like a coach. I always kind of feel like this glorified manager that leads this team. And I literally sat down, and I thought, maybe I am a coach. After all, it was like this stamp of validation. I'm still numb when I think about it. The greatest athletic family in the history of all sport. And I am being inducted into the Hall of Fame of this family. It's crazy. Yeah, it still hasn't hit me.
Well, I imagine that they're not going to put glorified manager under your name. I think you're going in as a coach and well-deserved.
Dancer, choreographer, glorified manager.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Nemo.
Now, next season starts preseason. What will the team be doing to get ready for this upcoming season, to stay in shape, and everything else they need to do?
That's a great question, because I think what I experienced when I think what most early coaches, young coaches that experience success, you try to duplicate that the next season. And I believe that's the biggest mistake that a coach can make. You want to obviously take the good things that have worked for you, but every chemistry of every team is different. And I talked about our bubble. You know, I know softball talks about their bubble. our Bruin bubble, which served us very well. But as all bubbles, bubbles pop, right? You can't just go implant a new team into the same bubble. So, and you can't expect from day one for there to be a bubble. You have to create the bubble. So that's what we plan on doing. Dave's looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I'm just thinking how unique your sport is, because you are getting athletes who have been honing their craft since they were 10 years old. You know, they come in with more technical knowledge than in most sports.
Right.
And the mastery of what you do is mold that bubble and mold
right.
that chemistry. And it's a remarkable process.
It is. And as you can understand, you can't just go get a bubble and say, okay, fit into the bubble. You literally have to create the bubble, and it takes time. That's what preseason is for. And so you do that with hard work. You do that with a lot of – we do that with a lot of inner squads and a lot of team challenges. You know, not even gymnastics. We'll play volleyball. We'll swim. We'll do races just to get them competitively, to get that competitive edge going and to start building that team. So it's a fun process, but that was a great question, because it's not like, ooh, we found the magic – potion and we're just going to go sprinkle that on the girls, we're going to win again.
She'll try to make magic again this year. It'll be a different formula, but the Bruins hope for a similar result. Miss Val, always great to have
thank
you, and thanks for joining us on Bruin Talk.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. And again, to those of you who are seeing us for the first time, we hope you'll join us every couple of weeks. We'll have a new show on for you. For Naomi Manea, I'm Dave Marcus. We will see you next time. So long for now.
Been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.